by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All right, now the idea there is that when Adam sinned, everyone was in Adam. Okay, you weren't born yet. Your father wasn't born yet. His father wasn't born yet. But the entire human race, except for Eve, and Eve disobeyed before Adam did, but the sin entered the world through Adam. But the entire future human race was in Adam at the time. And so when Adam sinned, it had ramifications all the way down through the rest of the race because they were all in Adam. And so he being corrupted, when he had a son in his own image, a son that seeded forth from him, that son had the same sin nature that Adam had. Sin entered into the world through Adam. And so by the one man, sin entered, and then since Adam, all have sinned. Right? And because all have sinned, death passed upon all men. The wages of sin is death. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Okay, the people who lived before the law were in a very similar state to the state that people are in today. Because when there is no law, you can't have sin imputed to someone. You can't have it given to their account. Now, it was still in the world. Don't mistake that point. Sin was still in the world. This was another part of our discussion on Sunday, was whether sin exists when there is no law. Sin exists whether there's a law or not. Sin is still sin. You don't need the commandment that says thou shalt not kill for murder to be a sin. Sin is something that is absolute, and whether somebody knows it's sin or not doesn't change the fact of whether it's sin. Now, out there in the world today, philosophy teaches that right and wrong are relative, that what's right and wrong for me may not be right and wrong for you, and so basically everybody can be justified in what they do. There's this idea out there that says, well, everybody's just doing the best they can with what they have, and that's not true. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sinners. If we were all doing the best we could with what we have, then God wouldn't have any basis to judge the world. But we're not doing the best we can with what we have. We're falling short. But before the law was given to point out sin was there, it existed, it was in the world, but it was not imputed, it wasn't charged to their account. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. All right, now sin can have consequences without being imputed to someone. All right? I'll give you an example. We have, just recently, Texas's sodomy laws were overturned, all right? Sodomy is not a crime in our country, even though there are still some laws on the books in some places. Sodomy is not a crime. But there are consequences to a homosexual lifestyle. There are consequences emotionally, there are consequences physically, and God, it's something that is sin, but our legal system doesn't recognize it as a crime, all right? That crime is never imputed to anyone in our country. There is never a time where someone is brought before a court on charges of homosexuality and are convicted of that crime. It's not considered a crime. But the consequences still exist, right? Even though it's not imputed to anybody, there's still consequences for it. And that's the idea here, that these people, even though sin was not imputed to them, there was no law that told them what sin was, except for their own conscience, but that's an imperfect standard at best. Even though there was no law, and the sin was not imputed to them, they still died. They still suffered the consequences of sin. All right. Now you see, it says that Adam was the figure of him that was to come. This death came upon all men. Remember, we're still talking about this unwall and upon all them that believe. This death came upon all men. Everybody who was in Adam, death passed upon all men. We'll come to the verse that or actually, we already read verse 12 and said that. So death passed upon all men. And there's another verse here at the end of the passage that will tie all that together. Now he's going to compare that with Christ, because Adam was the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Right? There's some similarities, but there's differences here. He says, if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Right? Adam's sin, one man's sin, brought death upon many. All right? They didn't, it wasn't necessary for there to be many sins for many to die. There just had to be one sin. And by one man, by one sin, death passed upon many. In the same way, by one man, this gift of grace has abounded unto many. All right? Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Okay, he says, not as it was by one that sinned. Now he says there's a difference here. The judgment was by one to condemnation. By one man, one sin, condemnation came upon many. But he says that the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The offense, he says, was by one unto condemnation. The free gift is by many offenses unto justification. See, it's just turned around. And verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You notice that this abundance of grace has to be received. It's important because we're coming up on a hard verse here, and if we don't set the stage, if we don't set the right context here, you can get confused about it. But you see that the abundance of this grace has to be received. There's a difference between the gift of grace and the condemnation of sin. You didn't have any choice in the matter of the condemnation of sin. It was something that you received just by inheritance from the time you were born. You didn't have to say, okay, I'm going to choose to be an Adam. I'm going to choose to be a sinner. You were just born that way. But this abundance of grace that comes upon many through the one man, Jesus Christ, is something that has to be received. It's something that has to be received by faith. All right, so that's going to help us to understand verse 18. Verse 18 says, therefore, he's drawing a conclusion, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now, who are the all men there that the judgment comes upon to condemnation? Those are the all men in Adam, right? And then the next part of the verse says, even so, the justification of life. Now, who are the all men there? That's the all men in Christ. Those are the ones who have received the abundance of grace. The free gift is available unto all, back in our text where we started in Romans 3, but it only comes upon them that believe. And that's the context here in verse 18 when it says that the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. That's all men in Christ. And then verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.